So to prepare us for sharing the emblems, I'll ask our brother Phil to give us the word of exhortation.
Well, good morning once again. In 2018, so nearly 2 years ago, my parents moved to Groby, where Liz and I live, and they're within a 10-minute walk, and it's been my privilege ever since, on a Friday morning, to meet up with my dad at 6 o'clock. Oh, sorry, 7 o'clock in the morning. I should be careful what I say. We're not that early. 7 o'clock on a Friday morning, and when it's dark in winter, we go for a walk. But the rest of the year, when it's light enough, we'll go for a bike ride. And it's very fair to say that when my dad is on his bike and his bike rides with his son, he's got an electric bike, so it's easy for him. I struggle to keep up with him. He says things like, "Oh, look at the colour of those trees," or "Isn't it good to be alive?" And he'll say things like, on Friday he said, "Oh, doesn't it feel like spring has sprung, the sun had just come out, look at those daffodils and the leaves sprouting." And he's really, really positive. And there was an incident last summer when we were riding along this country lane. And it just started to rain, and the rain hadn't been forecast. And I said, "Oh, this wasn't forecast, you know, it was gentle drizzle." And he said, "It's the gentle rain from heaven." And he went on to explain to me that it was a quote from William Shakespeare's play, which is The Merchant of Venice. And it's a speech by Portia, and it's on the quality of mercy. Let me just read you how it starts, okay? And this is all new to me, and he quoted it to me as we were cycling along. He said, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes." So the quality of mercy is not strained. In other words, Shakespeare was saying that mercy is not forced. It's not something that is, you know, that it's a gift. It's given freely. And it's gentle. You know, generally, mercy, when we think about how you define it, is mercy is generally shown from somebody in authority to somebody, below them in a way, in the pecking order. So say, for example, a ruler might show mercy to their subjects, or a judge might show mercy to the accused, for example. But mercy is something that it drops gently upon the place beneath. You know, so the people that are recipients of mercy, it's something that is really gentle, isn't it? It's something that's not hard, not forced. It's a lovely gift given from someone in authority. Now, of course, the mercy that we are thinking about this morning for whatever exhortation is the mercy that God has shown to each one of us. And the mercy that is shown or has been shown by the Lord Jesus, and the mercy that we need to show, which is in our power, to everybody else around us. Because we can give this gift, because it's twice blessed, is mercy. It blesses those that give, and it blesses those that take. You see, if we're to give mercy, we're going to benefit from it. Let's just open by your Bibles in Psalm 103. Let's just remind ourselves about the mercy of God. This is a Psalm of David. It's such an amazing psalm that it just spells out what his character and his quality and his loving kindness and, of course, his mercy to each one of us. Psalm 103 in verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Now, this is the quality of our God, brothers and sisters, who is a loving and kind and merciful and forgiving God. And we came here this morning to remember the gift of God in providing his son, the Lord Jesus, as a sacrifice for our sins. But just have a look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. You know, this is our God, brothers and sisters. You know, this is an amazing thing that God, his mercy is so great towards those that fear him. As the heavens are high above the earth. You know, and I read that and I think about, well, the expanse of the universe above us. You know, it's infinite. And it's almost saying to me that that God's mercy towards us has no bounds. It cannot be measured. And verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You know, have you ever thought about that? Why does it say as far as the east is from the west? You know, I think I know, if you go to the north, you keep moving north and eventually you'll get to the North Pole. And once you're at the North Pole, you're going to move south. And so the distance between north and south can be measured. But no matter how far you go to the east, the west will always be behind you. And no matter how far you go to the west, the east will always be behind you. They will never meet. And what God is saying here, or that David is saying in his psalm, that God's taken away our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. It's completely taken them away. And this is the God that we are dealing with. He knows our mortality. He's like a gentle father. And that's what it says there in verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. You know, he knows our mortality. He knows just what it's like. And his love is so great. His ways are so much higher than our ways. And his love is so much greater than ours. And this, you know, when we read this psalm, the compassion and mercy of God is demonstrated to us. It's got nothing to do with our goodness. It's nothing to do with anything that we've done or to deserve. It's because of God's love. The fact that God is loving, that God is kind, that God is merciful and God is compassionate. And you know, this is, you know, at the starting point for our belief, isn't it? That we realise that we are sinners and that we need God's forgiveness, and that we acknowledge through the Lord Jesus that his sacrifice and our association with it and faith in it is the means by which our sins are taken away. So this is the amazing thing that we've come here to remember this morning. Now, the Lord Jesus, of course, was the perfect man. He, in all ways, embodied in his teaching and in his example the character and the goodness of God. You know, and he taught mercy. His example demonstrated mercy. Perhaps you'd like to just look at Matthew chapter 5. It's the first mention of mercy in the New Testament. And of course, it's in the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. Of course, Jesus starts this sermon with the Beatitudes, these blessings to people that show different qualities, certain qualities. And it's here in verse 7. Where we have mercy, the first mention of mercy in the New Testament. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, William Shakespeare said that mercy is twice blessed. It blesses him that gives and him that takes. And, you know, this is, yeah, I think he's almost quoting from here, you know, that people knew the mercy of God back in the day, and they realised that if we have mercy, it's a good thing. If we demonstrate mercy to others, then we ourselves will receive mercy, both from others, but especially from God. And the Gospel of Matthew emphasises this over and over and over again. If you look at Matthew, in Matthew's accounts of the Lord's Prayer, forgive our debts as we forgive those that are indebted to us. And then it goes on to say in the very next verse, for if you do not forgive men your trespasses, neither will the Heavenly Father forgive you. You know, there is a clear relationship between us receiving mercy and us providing and giving mercy ourselves. So this is a really important lesson for us. You know, if we want to receive mercy, we've got to be merciful. Okay, let's. Jesus had some challenges though, didn't he? You know, later on in this chapter in Matthew, it's all very well showing mercy and compassion to those people that we like, that we love. It's a lot harder to do it the people that we don't like. Just have a look at verse 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Perhaps you'd like to just turn to our reading today in Luke chapter 6. Because, of course, in some ways it's like a parallel chapter. We know it's a different incident because this sermon of Luke 6 wasn't on the mountain like it was in Matthew 5, 6 and 7. But here we've got some very similar teachings and some of them are slightly different. Just have a look at what it says in verse 27 of Luke 6. This is the challenge of the Lord Jesus. I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. What the Lord Jesus is doing here, he's actually saying to us, is that we've got to be like God, who is good to the evil and the wicked, as well as the good and the righteous. Look at verse 34, or verse 35. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. You know, we're to ask and to... God is asking us, or Lord Jesus is asking us, to demonstrate the same mercy that God has shown to us, to others. And that shows that we are then the children of God himself, because we're demonstrating his character. And this is when we're in the right and other people are in the wrong, we still have to show mercy to them and forgive them. When we're doing good things and people are wicked and evil, then we've got to still bless them and pray for them. This is the challenge that Jesus is asking us. It's not about when people are all lovely, you know, good and we're all going in the same direction. It's when they're opposite to us. And we're right, and we know we're right. But we actually have to say that we have to bless them and pray for them, even though they're despitefully using us. And why? Because God is kind to the unthankful. It says, we've just read in Matthew 5, God causes the sun to rise on the just and on the unjust. His rain falls on the good and the evil. God's kind to everybody. His blessings come to everybody, and we've got to be the same. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. So of course, this is the teaching of the Lord Jesus, but then the Lord Jesus himself put it into practice, didn't he? It wasn't a case of do what I say, but not what I do. He obviously lived this. So let's just move on to Luke chapter 17. We thought about what Jesus did this morning, you know, at his crucifixion. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, this was the example of the Lord Jesus that we're called to, you know, to follow. That as they were knocking the nails in, he was praying to God that God would forgive them. Well, in Luke chapter 17, we've got an incident of 10 lepers. Throughout the gospel, you know, the synoptic gospels in particular, there's a number of examples where people said to Jesus, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Lots of examples. And we have an example of that here. He's in Samaria, or he's been passing through Samaria, verse 12 of Luke 17. "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off." You know, here is somewhere, something which is social, you know, social distancing, you know, in effect, in reality. And of course, this was according to the law. These people had to separate themselves for the good of the rest of society, so that their infectious skin disease didn't pass on to other people. And so they could only stand a long way off. They couldn't come close to the Lord Jesus, but they shouted. What did they shout? They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You know, "Please, Lord, help us." Now, of course, how many times in Scripture did the Lord Jesus have mercy? You know, it's recorded many times. So what did he say? So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, the Lord Jesus healed in so many different ways. For some, he laid his hands on them. For some, he cast out, you know, he rebuked a fever if it was Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He cast out demons. But here, he just said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were on the way, they were healed, they were cleansed. But notice, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a hated, if you like, somebody who was not part of that Jewish race, who was despised. But he was the Samaritan praising God and thanking the Lord Jesus. "Were there not any found," says Jesus, "who returned to give glory to God? Except this foreigner." And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Or your faith has made you whole. And so many examples of the Lord Jesus. When people said, "Have mercy on me." And wanted their, you know, their diseases healed. That Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." And I think the lesson for us is that those people who ask for the mercy and the forgiveness of God in faith, will receive it. What an amazing thing that is, that we have to ask for forgiveness, and if we do, we will receive it. Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son. You know, how are we going to demonstrate this same mercy that is shown to us? And I think it's something to do with compassion. Because mercy is almost like the outcome of compassion. Compassion and mercy is slightly different. But I think compassion is the feeling that drives mercy. Okay? That at least is the way. And so we should be thinking and feeling what other people are feeling. And then hopefully we'll show more mercy to them. We'll be compassionate towards them. But every time I read Luke 15, I very rarely am failed to be moved by it. Because I really associate myself with this lost son. You know, the fact that I had an interesting youth, shall I say. And I feel that this is like me, that I had to get right down to the rock bottom to actually come to my senses and realise I was going in completely the wrong direction. And this is what happened to this lost son after he'd squandered his money on riotous living. And he hit rock bottom. And he realised what a fool he'd been. He completely repented. But we have this quality of God and what he's like. Of course, the Father represents God. And verse 20, it's just amazing. This young man arose, came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, this is before his son has even spoken a word. He's not even declared his repentance. Okay? He's not said anything yet. And his father's run to him and had compassion. Now, this to me just, you know, is an amazing thing that here our God is a compassionate God. This is the only time in Scripture that God is in a rush. We read in Psalm 103 that God is slow to anger. He's long-suffering. This is the only example where God, in symbol, is in a rush. And he ran to have compassion, to fall on his son's neck and to kiss him. And the son says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And we know that he didn't finish what he was going to say. Make me was one of your hired servants. But the father, not a trace of resentment to what his son had done, says, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You know, what the son had done was, you know, just wasn't even mentioned. It was forgiven immediately. And this is what, you know, our God does for us. And the thing here is that the father had compassion. And this idea of compassion is, you know, the compassion of the Lord Jesus is mentioned many times in the New Testament. And the Greek word means to be moved as to one's bowels. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we've got wind or anything like that. They believed that the bowels were the seat of love and tenderness and mercy and compassion, those types of emotions. And I think I understand why. Because if any of you have been homesick, it's called homesick for a reason. You kind of feel it here. If anyone's been lonely, you feel it inside. It's like, oh, you know, don't like it. It's not a nice feeling. And I think that's why it's the bowels that the seat of those types of feelings. So when it says the Lord Jesus had compassion, I think the Lord Jesus felt it inside. He was feeling how those people were feeling that were coming to him, asking him to heal them or asking him to forgive them or to heal them from their diseases. We've got to show the same feeling. We've got to try and empathise with those around us and find out what they're feeling, at least try and understand what they're feeling. And that's going to help us enormously to have mercy on them. The last reference is Matthew 18. We know this parable as well. You know, I'm ramming home the lesson here, brothers and sisters. You know, it's so clear. Scripture is absolutely obvious and loud about the fact, you know, how we are to behave towards those around us. The Apostle Peter is the disciple at this time. He says to Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? Is that enough? And Jesus says, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, you have to forgive and keep forgiving. And he gives this parable. Verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I understand, or at least somebody has said in an exhortation, that 10,000 was the largest number that people actually used at that particular time. They didn't have numbers for millions and billions and trillions, okay, like we do. But 10,000 was the largest number. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. But let's say that it was literally 10,000 talents and what that meant. So this week I googled the weight of a talent. It's approximately 33 kilograms. And if a talent, if it was 10,000 talents of silver, if my calculations are correct, because I actually went and calculated the cost of silver at that particular time, the debt would be £137,280,000. Okay, 10,000 talents of silver. £137 million. If it was talents of gold, then it'd be £13.2 billion. Okay. Now we're talking about a debt here that could not be repaid. This is the whole point. This man could never repay this debt. But look at what he said. The servant therefore fell down before his Lord, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." No, he couldn't pay him. He wasn't going to be able to pay him. But the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Now, we came here this morning to remember our King. Or God, in a way, has provided the salvation, the redemption, the redemptive price to clear our debts. And that was the death of his only begotten Son. That was the price that God paid on our behalf, so that our sins could be taken away. Now, of course, here the lesson is really clear, because, of course, that servant had all of his debts cleared. But the servant went out, verse 28, and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, that's 100 days' wages. So it's, you know, at least £10,000, you know, depending on, you know, how you calculate that. So it's not an insignificant sum. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. And so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" You know, we have got to, brothers and sisters, have compassion and mercy on those that have wronged us, that those who, people who owe us, those people that are not nice, those people that are unkind. We've got to show the same compassion that God has shown to us. His master was angry and delivered him to the tortures until he should pay all that was due to him. So, says the Lord Jesus, "My heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." So, brothers and sisters, you know, the lesson's really, really clear. The same mercy, the same compassion that has been shown to us, we need to show to our brothers and sisters, obviously, but also to those that we meet in the world around us, those that are not kind, those that are not nice. We've got to demonstrate the same spirit as the Lord Jesus and put his teaching into practice in our lives. And if we do that, then we will be blessed. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." So the quality of mercy is not strained. It falls or droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It's twice blessed. It blesses those that give and those that take.